If you like talent, you are in the right place. Welcome back to the Talent Factor Football Podcast. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my guy, my brother, Keith Sanchez. Keith, what's going on, baby?
Mic check. My mic is hot, so it's time to talk some football. DP, we on a week two, baby. We had a hell of a week one slate, but, you know, we have to turn the page, get to week two, because there's a lot of exciting things to talk about, you know, coming up. We have the Alabama-Texas matchup, and we have a couple, you know, hot takes for you guys that we want to get into.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Before we get into that, let's give a quick shout out to our partners over at BetOnline, as they are the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELEAV50, B-L-E-A-V 50, to receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Keith, the game started, you know, technically 2 weeks ago, week zero, but really, really got underway last week with week one, and we're heading into week two, man. And let's start it off with top of the line. Let's talk about some of the headlines that really stood out to us. And Keith, Clemson, you know, Monday night, Clemson versus Georgia Tech, and it was in Atlanta. You know, it was a, what they call, an off-site game. It wasn't a home game for anybody. Don't really understand that.
Site game, right?
Right. It's supposed to be neutral, but it's in the same school. It's in one school's hometown. Like, I mean, it doesn't really make sense. But, you know, it was a solid game. Clemson pulled out with the victory. I believe it was like 42-10 after a late Cade Klubnik touchdown with like 2 minutes to go. What was your reaction? What was your takeaways from that game?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the thing. We usually do our good, the bad, and the ugly segment on Sundays, right? But from Clemson, there was good, bad, and ugly, right? Like, you take away the good. I guess the good was you scored 42 points, right? Special teams showed up. I think they were responsible for, what, two block punts. You know, DJ Uiagalelei made a couple good throws. The bad was the snaps over his head, the fumble by him, the blown assignments by the offensive line. And the ugly is, it's still his passing game. Like, there's something still wrong with this Clemson passing game. We can't put our fingers on it, right? Like, you don't know if it's the play calling. You don't know if it's the receivers. You don't know if it's Big Cinco himself, right? If he's the problem. But I know that watching that game, after one half of football, I said, you know what? What they've been telling us over the past couple months through the offseason, that this is going to be a different Clemson offense, I said, you know what? I'm out. Like, this is the same exact thing. It's a repeat of last year. It's whatever happened in 2021, just run it back. Like, that's what happened at the end of the day. So that's why I left it. I said, you know what? This is the same old Clemson.
Keith, I'm with you. I'm 100% out on this offense in general. You have bigger receivers that you're trying to throw quick screens to and make them make guys miss and be elusive jitterbugs in space, or they're not the fastest, most explosive guys to attack vertically, and you're sending them primarily vertically. So it's just like, from an offensive concept standpoint, like, DJU, yes, be cleaner, get the ball out of your hands, but at the same time, it's like, you can't really get it out when nobody's open, right? And you're playing Georgia Tech, who had three tall, long corners that were able to be sticky in coverage, chest to chest, hip to hip, not give much space and separation. And it typically, when you got smaller corners, you expect your bigger receivers to then just make a play at the catch point. But when you can't separate against guys that are your size, you still can't make the play at the catch point, because these guys can still play at that spot with you. So I'm not sure where Clemson goes from here. They have some other guys that are more of the slot receiver, the Hunter Renfrow types. Get those guys into the game with Big Cinco, man. Like, they got to fix this offense, because if not, you're not going to be in the mix of the college football playoffs when we get here. Like, no, the committee's not going to vote you in.
They won't. Like, listen, luckily, Clemson, majority of teams that they play against, they're just flat out more talented in, right? Like, look, that's the lucky part. Like, and defensively, they have a damn good defense. When you talk about Brian Brisee, you talk about Miles Murphy, you talk about Trent Simpson, he flashed like crazy in that game, right? You've seen his range and explosiveness. So luckily, they can lean on that, and that'll guarantee them probably 9 wins at least in the ACC, and then they'll figure it out. Like I said, I think it's going to be the same exact thing from last year. And this is going to kind of help us transition to our next point, right? That I believe they dropped the spot in the AP poll to number 5. And that's telling, right? Like, you won the game and you still lost. So that lets you know that the voters are looking at it and saying, you know what? This process is not good. There's something wrong with the process of Clemson and this offense. And now they're sitting at number 5. So guess what? You're out of the college football playoffs, right? And I know it's only week 1. But what are y'all going to do moving forward to – you know, continue to jump, right? Like, and that's what the committee is saying, or the voters are saying, that we still wanted to look the part also. So, man, I left it with that. And like I said, just, you know, kind of diving into the AP top 25. When I looked at that, I seen that, man, you know what? Clemson is number 5. You know, they took a loss, and I wonder where this is going to go from here.
Nah, and to your point, you know, the old adage is, the old saying is, you can't win for losing. Well, Clemson lost. Clemson couldn't win for winning. Like, you know what I mean? Right. You won the game and you still dropped. And it's because people see the way that this offense is structured, the way that it's moving. And I know a lot of the blame goes to, you know, a lot of people on social media tries to blame just the quarterback. But you throw on the tape and you look at the concepts and everything else that's going on, Keith, the problems for Clemson's offense is much more than just the quarterback. But you kind of already segued us into talking about the AP top 25 and some of the changes. And Keith, Ohio State dropped. So the top 5, you know, you talked about Clemson being at 5. Alabama's at 1. Georgia's at 2. Ohio State dropped to 3. Michigan moved up 4 spots, Keith, to 4. Even though the quarterback play wasn't efficient, explosive, or any of those things, they still moved up because they showed very well against Colorado State. Clemson's at 5. Texas A&M looks like they stand pat at 6. Oklahoma moves up to 7. Notre Dame drops 3 spots after losing to Ohio State to 8. Baylor moves up a spot to 9. And USC, our Trojans, Keith, the talent factors Trojans, move up 4 spots into the top 10 at number 10 with a big game coming up this weekend. You know, and it just kind of rounded up probably the top 15. Oklahoma State moved up to 11. Florida, A. Rich in Florida goes from unranked to the 12th spot in the AP rankings. Utah drops 6 spots down to 13. Michigan State moves up to 14. Miami, the U, moves up to 15. And I want to give a quick shout out to Arkansas, who I believe should be higher, Keith. So what do you know, if you want me to finish round at the top, whole top 25, I could. But I know that you got the list pulled up. So what stood out to you from this list, man?
Yeah, okay, let's start at the top. Michigan jumping 4 spots into that number 4 spot, which, I mean, after watching 1 week of college football, right, like we had Oregon ranked, you know, pretty high. We had Ohio State ranked pretty high. I'm trying to think of more disappointing performances, right? Clemson, I'm sorry, we just finished
talking about North Carolina State.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Michigan, they did what they were supposed to do. Listen, I believe they played Colorado State. I watched, you know, probably like a total of a half of the game. And they did what they were supposed to do. They got the run game going. Listen, I'll tell you this, dude. After about 5-10 throws, I think it was the first drive, I was out on Cade McNamara. I was about to tweet it out. I was about to see Harbaugh in this quarterback competition ASAP, right? Like in this right now. Go ahead, throw J.J. McCarthy in and let's figure this thing out. At least J.J. McCarthy can run. But credit to Cade McNamara. He does what he always do. Right when you're about to pull him, he makes a play, right? And it frustrates you as a Michigan fan. And I'm more sure that it frustrates you as a coach too, because you don't know which way to go with this. But they showed well, man. And listen, we put them in our playoff bracket, right? That we think that there would be 2 teams out of the Big Ten that get in. And I still think that Michigan has a damn good shot at getting in. Like, they should be able to beat everybody else. Penn State did not look good in their opener against Purdue, I believe. Michigan State looked solid in their performance, but that was against one of the Michigans, right? Like, whether it was Western, Eastern, or something like that.
Western,
those Michigan schools. And it, you know, and they looked solid, but I think Michigan, they looked dominant, man. They looked like they had some athletes. They looked like they had some good defenders. They looked like they finally have some good DBs that can turn and run. So I'm excited about Michigan and see, you know, how this thing plays out for them for the next couple weeks.
Nah, I'm 100% with you, man. And like, the only thing I'm gonna tell you is welcome to the dark side, man. I've been preaching the, you know, bench can't cut the ham for a while, man.
You said Michigan looks good, and I told you I didn't believe you. I was like, okay, all right, like DP, what are we talking about, right? And then I watched Cornelius Johnson and then those guys, Blake Corum, shout out to him, 5'7" running back toting the pill.
Man, they have the weapons, and then the defense. That's what really caught me off guard, Keith. You know, Iyabi Anoma, who just got there 2 weeks ago. About a week and a half to 2 weeks ago.
Naturally gifted, man.
Naturally gifted. And had a tremendous rep, you know, where he's dealt, you know, he bull rushes with one arm, long arms to tackle, and then just throws the running back who's trying to, you know, squeeze him down and throws him out the way and then gets the sack. And, you know, DJ Turner getting the fumble recovery for a touchdown. Defensively, they just may be all right, Keith. And for me, my takeaway was Arkansas. And I feel like Arkansas, you know, there's no disrespect to Utah. Utah lost to an unranked Florida team. Yes, it's an SEC team, but AP, y'all had them unranked. You know, for me, don't try to give them the respect of, well, you know, it's a 12-ranked team now. No. In my opinion, Utah and Arkansas could flip. Arkansas went; they had a battle, you know, of sorts with Cincinnati, and it was a good game. You know, Cincinnati kept it close, especially after their new quarterback struggled for a little bit. But Arkansas is physical, man. Offensively, they are extremely physical in the trenches. The run game with Sanders, Raheem Sanders, Rocket Sanders, toting the pill. But then you also think about KJ Jefferson, you know, 230, 235 pound bowling ball frame, about 6'2", that will run through you, runs, and he's got a little juice to him so he can get around you as well. And he's got a really nice arm too, Keith. So I feel like this team deserves a little bit more respect, man. And they got some guys on the defensive side of the ball as well that can make plays defensively. So I'm excited to see how their season continues to progress. But I feel like if this is one takeaway from me, I would have dropped Utah just a little bit lower and raised Arkansas, because Utah, while it was a competitive game, you were the 7th-ranked team in the nation going against an unranked team with a first-year starting quarterback, a new head coach, new offensive system. They were, from what I remember them talking about, Florida was missing some guys defensively. Also, I think on the D-line, because the rotations weren't correct. You had a lot of guys gassed come the fourth quarter because they're playing so many snaps. And you still lost, man. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like, I love the physicality. I love the run game that they show. Brent Keithy is a dude in college football. We'll see what that means for him going into the draft. But I didn't see enough from Cam Rising to uplift this team and make the plays through the air when he wasn't targeting Keithy. To really lead them to victory. So that's my takeaway from this.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go on the opposite side of that matchup, right, with Florida, and you mentioned it real quick. But, man, we got to talk about it, man. A Rich balled out, right? And I appreciate the voters, the AP poll, was it computers, or however the hell they come up with these numbers at this point, right? Nobody knows. It's keep changing. Now we got a playoff coming in 2025 or something. Who knows? But however they got the rankings, I appreciate the fact that with Florida, they bumped them up all the way from 12 to unranked, right? Because I think when we watched last week that there are a couple great teams, there are a couple good teams, and then there's that next tier right there. And I think that's where Florida is right there, right? Like they're in that tier where they're good, but they can rise and elevate to that, like, man, this could be a dangerous football team. And, man, let me give a shout out to you, DP, because you said it, right? You said Florida, A. Rich, they're going to be pretty good to where they're going to be able to challenge Georgia in the SEC East, right? And that was because they had Anthony Richardson. And I think once you watched that game last week and you seen the plays that Anthony Richardson made and the fact that he's an X factor by himself, right? We made him our make a statement player of the week last week because we knew he needed to go into the swamp. You had a lot of hype behind you. Everybody's excited to see what you can do. Tools, tools, tools. That's what everybody kept saying. and he got the job done. So Florida was the other team for me that when I looked at it, I said, you know what? Like, I appreciate the fact that they were able to bump them up to number 12, and I think that's appropriate. But DP, I just talked about making a statement, right? Like, we nailed it last week. We did pretty good with our upset picks of the week. I'm sorry. And we did pretty good with our make a statement pick. So this week, I have my make a statement guy, and I'm going to go with not a 2023 NFL draft prospect, but a 2024 NFL draft prospect. But I think he can kind of plant his flag to where he lets everybody know, like, yeah, I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And that's Caleb Williams versus Stanford, right? Like, how many times have we heard that USC is back, and then they lose the games that they're not supposed to lose to? They always have a good quarterback, right? They have a good quarterback and a couple receivers. But, you know, just as far as them, you know, planting their flag as Pac-12 South and then Pac-12 champions, they always lose a couple games that they, quite frankly, they just shouldn't lose. And so I think with Caleb Williams, is like, hey, you got Mario Addison. I mean, you got Jordan Addison. You got Mario Williams. You have Caleb Williams. Let's get the job done, baby. Like, let's take it home. Let's get the W, and let's make a statement that you're the best quarterback for this 2024 NFL draft class.
No, I love that pick, Keith, because they're going into Stanford. And that's not going to be an easy place to play. No. Stanford's got some defenders. Our guy Caillou Blue Kelly at corner, who's going to be tested. You know, he was a candidate for this segment for me for making the statement, because he's going to see Jordan Addison, the reigning Biletnikoff winner, a guy who we all know how good he is at playing the wide receiver position. And then you got the college football version of Kyler Murray and Caleb Williams, who's just that dynamic dual threat athlete with a nice arm that can make plays from all over the field, from any platform with his base. It's going to be an exciting game. For me, I got to stick with my position, man, the running backs. Uh-oh. Baby. I gotta talk about the running backs.
What we got?
12 o'clock Eastern, the Alabama Crimson Tide, Keith, go into Texas. They go, you know, they always say everything's bigger in Texas. So this is a big game, right? And Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be standing across the field from the consensus RB1, Bijan Robinson. And I've always said that if there's anybody with the skill set that can make a GM when it's time to draft a running back in the first or second round, whenever they go next April, it's that can challenge and make these GMs kind of think, like, do I want Bijan? Is there someone else? It's Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs is a playmaker. He's an electric playmaker at that. And you think about his ability to run it, he's got home run hitting speed, right? He's got a second and third gear that once he opens that stride, bro can go. Like, he can slide, Keith. So it's like you got to contain him and keep him out of space, right? But that's hard to do because then he's a receiver as well. And I'm not just talking about the functional stuff. Like, oh, I'm going to just dump it down. You're the last read in the progression. You're my check down. No, I can put you in the slot. I can throw the screens to you. I can have you run drags and slants. I could do different things with you. And that's what the NFL is today. So you think about this game being arguably the best and biggest game. College game day is going to be there, Keith. So if Jahmyr Gibbs goes out and outperforms Bijan Robinson, I think this is a chance for him to go make a statement.
I have a question for you, DP. When you say outperforms, like, look, what does that mean, right? Like, what does that look like? Is that rushing yards? Is that receiving yards? Is that Alabama just winning? Like, does it matter how it looks, right? Do you expect him to put on more jukes? Do you expect him to have bigger plays? Like, what? Because we have to be honest, right? Bijan Robinson is a talented football player, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that he's the bell cow in that Texas backfield, right? So he can very well touch it 25, 30 games. So my question is to you is, what does it have to look like for you to say, you know what, Jahmyr Gibbs outperformed Bijan Robinson?
Man, impact, right? Like, yeah, Alabama is favored to win, but Alabama could win by 17. But if Bijan is the driving force of that, right? Like, he has 200 yards total offense from scrimmage. And multiple touchdowns, where not only did Alabama score a lot of points, he was a direct correlation to those points. Right. You know what I mean? As a receiver out of the backfield, gashing Texas as a runner, you know, and we saw that against Utah State, where he's just kind of, he's making plays and making reads on the fly. One run, he springs it too far out wide. Granted, he got the first down because he's just that athletic. But the next time he presses outside, sees a hole inside, cuts in and gets skinny and makes and gets the first down. And it's those type of things that we needed to, a lot of us at TDN wanted to see from him. Getting those harder earned yards, creating over expectation, right? So for me, it's the impact. We know that Bijan Robinson is the most impactful player for Texas's offense, right? Even with Xavier Worthy and that stud that they have at receiver. He's the straw that stirs that drink. But if Gibbs can go in and be a similar impacting factor for Alabama winning that game, that's why I think that you can have that conversation, especially for him just coming into a new offense where there's more mouths to feed for, and it's not, hey, Georgia Tech, you're our best player, so we're gonna feed you. Now it's like, okay, I get my touches. Now let's make a play, and for me, it's gonna be an impact.
I like it. I like it. Remember, y'all heard it here first. Jahmyr Gibbs making an impact, making a run for running back two over. Well, running back one, right? Because that's what the maker statement is supposed to be. It's supposed to put your name in that conversation. I have to say that, DP. I second it, right? Like, he's in my region. I did the scouting on him. I said, man, this guy has some real abilities. And if you put him behind this Alabama offensive line, man, it's fireworks. And so I'm excited to see what he does. I think stylistically, he's a little bit different than Bijan Robinson. But guess what? The impact will be felt the same exact way. So I'm excited about it.
No, 100%, man. And I'm excited to talk about this next young man. Fact of fiction, Keith, is North Carolina's redshirt freshman quarterback, Drake May, the best quarterback right now in the ACC?
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know we was going to take it, though. You know, we do fact or fiction. I didn't know. Okay. Oh, man.
We got to get a little spicy, Keith. We got to get a little spicy.
Right. So I have to think about this, right? Because we have our guy DJU, but there's no way in my right mind that I can say he's the best quarterback in the ACC. Like, I lose all credibility, right?
You can't do it.
Let's think. We have Jordan Travis, who pulled off a win. Let's call it that, right? I don't know if it didn't look great, but he pulled off the win. He got the win. Then we have our guy in Miami, Tyler Van Dyke. But Drake May just dropped a 60 piece, right? Like that, he just went for 60 as a redshirt freshman. I'm gonna say it. He's the best quarterback in the ACC right now. Like back-to-back. Now, granted, listen, he played FAMU and he played Appalachian State, but he did what he's supposed to do, and that's get buckets, right? Like when you're playing against the weaker competition, you're supposed to put up points. And listen, what I seen on film was the arm talent, right? Like this guy, I don't think there's a throw on the field that he can't make as a quarterback. So he looks poised already. And what's something that's underrated for him is his mobility, right? Like he's not one of those guys you're going to put in the bracket of a special athlete, right? But when you think about your quarterbacks like your Justin Herberts or something like that, he has that type of ability to pull the quarterback, you know, read option and get you 12, 15 yards. Or if you're playing man and now the defender's back to the quarterback, he can get out of the pocket and get you 20, 30 yards. So, yeah, I think he's the best. Now, shout out to Tyler Van Dyke because I think he's a really talented quarterback. But, man, I from what I've seen from Drake May right now is, man, North Carolina's in a damn good position because they got a redshirt freshman quarterback that's been dealing through 2 weeks of college football.
You know, Keith, I like the answer. I like the answer, but I'm going to disagree. Okay. And the reason why, I'm going to say – for me, and hey, listen, just to give a quick shout out to everybody, let you know, you know, follow us on the YouTube channel, you know, the Draft Network, because me and our guy Ray G will be doing a 4 Downs film session on Drake May, which will be dropping soon. I like everything you said is correct, right? I think for me is I need to see when he's in conference play, right? This defense for North Carolina, we talked about it on Sunday. They're going to keep every other offense in the game. Like, yeah, it's just what it is.
I agree. And so, all right, you know what? Go ahead. Finish making your point because
I'm thinking to myself, like, the ACC has a lot of veteran quarterbacks, right? You know, Devin Leary, and you talk about Jordan Travis, and you got, you know, Jeff Sims, who showed well against Georgia Tech. And, you know, it's a lot of different guys, right? So what happens when we get into conference play? Sam Hartman, shout out to him, has now been medically cleared to return to Wake Forest, and he goes back to an explosive offense with weapons. Are you going to be able to withstand under the bright lights in the ACC, staring across the field from a Sam Hartman who you know is going to put up 45 to 50 points on your defense and goes throw for throw, score for score? If he starts
I'm about to cut you off. This is what I'm about to say. If I'm Drake May, I'm rolling into every game. I'm looking at my defense, and I'm saying that ain't my problem. That is not my problem, baby. My job is to beat the opposing team defense. How bad my defense is, that is not my problem. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep putting up numbers. And if they keep allowing touchdowns, guess what? I'll get on the field faster, and then I could put up some more points. So it may actually work out for Drake May, right? But I'm looking at it. And listen, we say the locker room, everything's supposed to, you know, be tight-knit, everybody's supposed to be together. But listen, that ain't my problem, right? I'm not lined up next to them. My locker might be next to the wide receiver and the running back. So I'm going to say, listen, defense, y'all figure y'all thing out. But me and my offense, Josh Downs comes back, we're going to just keep putting up points.
No, and that's a great counterpoint too, Keith. And I love that because, yeah, he has to have that mindset because, yeah, that defense is going to keep teams in the game. But if he can go out in these conference games against these veteran, high-octane offenses in the ACC, stay throw-for-throw, stay score-for-score, and then pull off wins, then, yeah, I'm going to crown this young man because the talent is there, man. He's got the size, the arm talent, the mechanics are clean. Man, I mean, he's a fun player. So I like the counterpoint, though, Keith. You almost made me flip my decision. I'm not going to lie to you. But I had to stick to my guns there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, so look, man, next up, this is what we're going to talk about, right? Last week, we did our job, and that was to bring our listeners, our viewers. We were supposed to upset alert, sound the alarm. We watched the film, and we are telling you that this is not going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. We did it last week. We picked Florida to beat Utah in the Swamp. A Rich, this is not going to happen. Cameron Rising's talented guy. His Utah team is talented, but they're not beating the Gators. And guess what? Came Saturday night, they did not beat the Gators. So this week, we went through, we scoured through. It's an interesting slate of week two games overall, right, DP? Like, there are a couple top-tier games, but it wasn't just laced with a bunch of games. So this week, we had to go off the beaten path a little bit. But, you know, we still put it together. And so this week, we went with our upset alert. Wisconsin is giving, according to the sports books, Wisconsin is giving 17.5 points to Washington State, right? And you brought this up to me, and I said, DP, that's the one. I said, you want to know why? Because they don't score points in the Big Ten, right? So I don't even know if Wisconsin's going to get 17 points to be able to say that they're going to beat a team by 17 points. So at the end of the day, I think Washington State keeps it close, right? Like, we talked about Cam Ward, the quarterback, extremely talented guy, you know, a version of this air raid offense, right? It seems like there's so many versions now, but I'm just expecting them to keep it closer than a 17-point spread, you know, once the final score, once the fourth quarter ends, that it will be within 17 points.
Yeah, no, and 100%, Keith, I don't know if either one of us are picking Washington State to actually outright win this game because they're going to have to stop the run game. But like you said, Wisconsin doesn't have this explosive, high-octane scoring offense. Like, they don't. Grant Mertz is a okay quarterback, right? Like, that's one of the things that continue to hold them back. They don't get any – they don't have a dude at quarterback that can put up a lot of points. And I think 17.5 – when we saw it, I was like, I'm chomping at the bit at this. That's a big spread, man. You know, even in college, that's a big spread. 17.5. I could see Wisconsin still winning the game, but I think it could be closer. I do believe in the talents of Cam Ward in that version of the air raid offense, too, to put up enough points to shrink the lead and shrink that spread to where Wisconsin does not cover.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
So, Keith, now we're going to end this the same way we did last week, and it's going to be a staple of every show. Let's get into the pick'ems, Keith. Let's talk about the pick'em games, baby. And we got six on tap. And let's start off with the, I mean, this, we talked about Alabama, Texas, because that's early in the day. We're gonna wait for that one. Kentucky on the road to Florida. And for those that haven't followed the draft class just yet, we want to tell you why this game is so important. You have two quarterbacks who are direct threats to Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud in this very game. Will Levis for Kentucky and Anthony Richardson, a.k.a. A-Rich. You know what I'm saying? Both of these guys are going to take the field with the opportunity to wow not just the fans, not just draft analysts, scouts, and GMs. This is a game where these two young men can plant their flags, Keith, as I'm QB1. You know, what Kevin Hart said, say it with your chest. I'm QB1. Say it with your play. So, Keith, Kentucky's coming off a win against Miami of Ohio. We talked about A-Rich in Florida getting that momentum after beating Utah last week. So who you got?
I'm going Florida, chomp, chomp, baby. I think Florida pulls it out again. Listen, they're back at home again. You're feeling really, really good. It's week two. You were underdogs last week, right? And you just beat a really good Utah team. So momentum's on your side. You're feeling good. You're saying, you know what? We are a good football team. And then watching this team and scouting this team, I can vouch for that. They have some talented football players that you will hear their names being called in this upcoming NFL draft. So I'm going A-Rich. I'm going Florida. I'm going Swamp. I'm going to Gators. They get it done.
Nah, I'm 100% with you, Keith. I think this is another moment for A-Rich to put his stamp on college football. Like we said last week, his abilities are putting college football on notice, and this is another opportunity. And you think about what he's had to endure just to start the season, to go up against a really, really good Utah team that's top 10 ranked, and then play a tough SEC opponent. To if he knocks off both of these schools, and do it in a convincing fashion, a flashy fashion, an explosive fashion, like he did last week. Man, it's gonna do wonders for his draft stock and for him and that team heading deeper into the SEC schedule. So give me Florida. Now, we talked about it earlier. USC is going into Stanford, Keith. This is not an easy. This one threw me back and forth because Stanford's in my region, so you know, being able to know Tanner McKee and Elijah Higgins at receiver and Caillou Blue Kelly and EJ Williams, you know, and this talented Stanford group. Talk to me, who you picking?
I'm going with USC. Fight on, baby. Fight on. Man, listen. Like I said earlier, USC always has talented quarterbacks, but I had a chance to sit down with Caleb Williams, and I can tell you from a mental standpoint, this guy is just wired differently. So I'm going with USC. I don't foresee any letdowns to where they're losing to teams that they shouldn't lose to. So give me Caleb Williams, give me USC, give me offensive firepower all night long.
Yeah, I'm going with you as well, Keith. I'm picking USC. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it'll be back and forth. But the combination of Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison and Mario Williams and then Lincoln Riley calling plays, I think it's going to be a little bit too much for the Stanford Cardinals to overcome. Next up, we have South Carolina going into Arkansas. I talked about Arkansas earlier, Keith, and this is Spencer Rattler having a chance to try and be a reclamation project, right? Prove to the NFL I'm someone that you should take a chance on next April. And they got the dub last week. And going into Arkansas is not going to be easy. I'm not going South Carolina, though, Keith.
Oh, I thought you were going South Carolina. I thought you were going
I set it up. I set the table for it, Keith, but I ain't putting no food on it because I'm going with Arkansas, man. I think KJ Jefferson has the opportunity to really – let everyone know that he is here to stay in college football. And someone, I think he's a redshirt junior, so he don't have to come out right now. But if he wanted to come out into the draft, he's a name that everyone should circle back to after the season and watch his tape and see what his game really consists of. But Arkansas's physical, I think, and South Carolina, they struggled in the trenches to protect Spencer Rattler last week against a lesser opponent. I think that Arkansas is going to be able to pressure him and pressure him early on and consistently.
Yeah, well, guess what? You ran from it. I'm running to it, baby. I'm picking South Carolina. I think they go into Arkansas. They get the upset. I think Arkansas is going to be flying high a little bit after they beat Cincinnati. But I think this is going to be a wake-up call that, remember, it's still SEC football, right? It makes a difference. Think Spencer Rattler, he starts the campaign for, you know what? I may not be the number one overall quarterback, but I'm still a pretty good quarterback, and I have some more talent. So him, Jaheim Bell, that run game, I think they get some things done. It's going to be a close one. DP is going to be close. It's going to be a matter of one possession, but I'm going with South Carolina. Spencer Rattler getting the job done.
I like it. I like it. Hey, listen, as a Rattler fan, I would love to see it. I would love to see it. Next up, we got Baylor going into BYU. Keith, talk to me.
Yeah, this is a big-time game for Baylor and BYU, right? Because it's usually these games, because they don't get very many big moments like this. Ah, man, so this is tough. I'm going to go with Baylor. I think Baylor gets the job done. This is not a typical Big 12 team where they like to spread it out, and so that way BYU could just bully them. This is a Baylor team that's tough, that likes to run the football, plays really good defense under Coach Aranda. Defensive line-wise, and then their linebackers, their coach really good by Coach Caleb Young, Coach Dennis Johnson. So I think they're going to have this team ready to rock and roll. And I think Baylor, this is also going to be another close game, but I think Baylor gets the job done.
Keith, I'm going to pivot with you on this one. I'm going BYU. Okay. BYU, the game is in Provo, Utah. and it's at 10:15 at night. You know that crowd's going to be rocking and rolling, man. They're going to be so hyped, loud, excited. And I think that BYU with Jaren Hall, that we talked about Caleb Williams being like Kyler Murray, so is Jaren Hall. Just a dynamic, dual threat type of quarterback that can really make plays with his arms and his legs. And you think about having that crowd behind him, I think that's going to just juice those guys up, energize them, and they're going to protect their house. So give me BYU. Next up, we got Tennessee traveling to Pittsburgh. Keith, Pittsburgh's coming off a win. Tennessee, good showing last week. Hendon Hooker, Keaton Slovis, two quarterbacks that are going to enter this class and trying to make a name for themselves and put themselves as high in the process as possible, Keith. So talk to me. Who do you think is going to pull this out?
Yeah, and this for me is simple. I didn't like what I seen week one from Pitt, and I liked what I seen week one from Tennessee. Listen, I'm going with Hendon Hooker. I think this guy is a flat-out playmaker. He's going to continue to elevate his draft stock throughout the rest of the season because he's going to show that he can make plays with his arm and his legs, dual threat guy. I think he goes into Pitt, gets the job done. So give me Tennessee and the Vols.
We are simpatico again, Keith, because I'm going Tennessee as well, man. We're on the same wavelength. Hendon Hooker, they got a good run game, good offensive line, and then Cedric Tillman is a dude at wide receiver. Big, strong, physical, can make plays at the catch point. I think that's going to be a little too hard, a little too much for them to handle. And if I remember correctly, Pitt didn't really fare the greatest last week defensively. So I think that Cedric Tillman could be in for a big day. Now, Keith, the showdown in Texas. We're going to close it out. Alabama versus Texas. Quinn Ewers, Bijan Robinson, Xavier Worthy, DeMarvin Overshown, Bryce Young, Jermaine Burton, Jahmyr Gibbs. Keith, talk to me. Will Anderson, Dallas Turner,
you can keep going. You know what I'm going to do, DP? Listen, I'm a guy that I don't like repeating the same mistakes, right? Like, I'm not a guy that I like to mess up twice. And last week I messed up. I went against a really good SEC football team, and I picked a team from another conference that people told me would be good, right? And I picked Oregon to beat Georgia. I'm not doing that this week, right? Two totally different teams, but it's still the same principles, and I'm applying them to this situation. I'm picking Alabama. I think they're going to go into Texas, and we're going to say, you know what? Texas just isn't ready yet. I think it's going to be the same storyline that it always is, right? Like, a team plays a really good SEC football team. They get beat by 15, 20, 25 points, and then we say, man, okay, they just wasn't ready yet. So my dialogue is not even – I don't even have to get into the players. I'm going straight principles. I'm sticking to my principles. I'm learning from my mistakes from last week. I am going to Alabama to beat Texas.
Brother, I'm with you, man. during this offseason, coming into the summer, I was like, Texas is back. I'm on the Longhorns, Keith. But this is not the game to be on the Longhorns, Keith. I can't do it. I can't muster it. And Keith, you said you were, no, we were wrong last week. We both picked Oregon. And we texted each other like, we're not doing this again. And so I got to go Alabama. Will Anderson, I don't think they got a guy or two guys that can block him at the same time and keep him from out of the backfield, man. He's the scariest man in college football. The Terminator, the Boogeyman, whatever you want to call Will Anderson. That fits because he is just that good. So I'm taking Alabama, man. I can't. Sorry, Texas. You know, you may be back in the Big 12. I mean, back in the Big 12.
In regards to the Big 12, Texas will be back. They will have a say-so. But, man, listen, it's just levels to this, right? Like they say, it's levels to this. And that's a different level, caliber of football. So I'm rolling with Alabama.
I got to do it. I got to do it, man. Plus, Nick Saban's pissed off from, you know, losing the national championship. So he ain't trying to lose no regular season games whatsoever. So shout out to Alabama. But as always, guys, that is our show. We getting you ready for week two of college football. As always, we appreciate all the love and support. Again, remember, holler at our friends over at BetOnline. Use the promo code BELIEVE50. Go get you some money. Make some bets. And again, find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app and network. Leave us a 5-star review, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Listen, I'm Damian Parson here of the Talent Factor Football Podcast with my guy Keith Sanchez. And Keith, what's the slogan, baby?
Hey, remember, talent is always the factor.